Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Yesterday, the Buffalo Bills released six players, including three starters, in an effort to get some relief and get under the salary cap.
Also restructured the contract of Von Miller. They also reportedly brought back Mitch Trubisky as the backup for Josh Allen.
Mitch Trubisky, my friend!
The Bills also reportedly restructured the contract of Rasul Douglas.
Taylor Rapp.
The Bills were not going to operate 40 mil over the cap.
Mike Danger.
We've been saying that you're only going to go so far with what we have. Today is going to be transformational, and the moves we make moving forward are going to ensure that we can get beyond where we are.
Gene Battaglia.
I hear you, but why would you do that? And I just go back to this. It's a young man's game, but I look at this now, and they have holes to fill here in free agency. They do. Who do they value more?
We have a trade to announce.
2-1 Toronto, the final over Buffalo. Overtime.
Byram and the Sabres are in Nashville tonight.
Nashville! Go Sabres!
Bless his heart. 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Hey, welcome on in the Sports Bar with Danger Battaglia. On now at 95.7 FM, AM 950 The Fan, Rochester sounds its best in the free-to-download Odyssey app. We appreciate you checking us out on your smart device when you ask it to play 95.7 The Fan. We've even got a video stream up for you to watch the Sports Bar. You can like and subscribe to our channel on YouTube at The Fan Rochester, also streaming on Twitch at The Fan Rochester. Alongside Gene Battaglia, I am merely Mike Danger.
That was not an afternoon we're going to forget anytime soon yesterday.
Absolutely,
buddy.
Not. In fact, no. I'm kind of still reeling from it, and I think part of our day today is going to be spent just kind of looking at, recapping, and discussing the ramifications of all of the moves made yesterday as the Bills look to get cap compliant in advance of this upcoming season.
Yeah, how the news came out yesterday, and I can almost picture Brandon being like, all right, let's get this over with. First phone call to this agent, next call to this agent, next call to this agent. It wasn't the Buffalo Bills till later releasing some of the names that they had parted ways with. It was kind of piecemeal coming over. We learned as we got on the air, oh, Jordan Poyer's not going to be here. Oh, my gosh, they let go Mitch Morse. We had Matthew Collar, ESPN Rochester alum Matthew Collar, and like we're in the middle of this Vikings interview and like, wait a second, they let go Tre'Davious White. That's it right. Was, yeah. And so is that it or what's next?
No,
what's
I don't think it's it. I really do not believe it's it. So just to kind of recap everything that has happened here in the last 24 hours with the Bills, and we'll let you know who's stopping by the Sports Bar as well this afternoon. They saved just under $26 million in cap by releasing Mitch Morse, Jordan Poyer, Naeem Hines, Deonte Hardy, and Saran Neal. They were able to save $2.5 million in cap by converting Rasul Douglas's contract and converting some of his base salary plus a $2 million roster bonus into a signing bonus. The renegotiation of Von Miller's deal was something that we didn't get a chance to discuss yesterday.
No, because that happened after we got off the air, and that was like in a day of surprises when we got off the air. Boy, Mitch Morse was a surprise. I contend that Von Miller giving money back is a bigger surprise.
Von Miller betting on himself rather than testing the market, because let's face it, he probably would have been in the Trey White category of a post June 1st cut. If the Bills,
his cap figure was so gross, Danger. Like, you want to take a sidebar? What I think was that actually was. What does Von Miller want to do in this league? He wants to be a GM. Now let's just take that at face value. You bought yourself a lot of goodwill here. That someday, if Von Miller is making the decisions and he's talking to an agent at some point, he could say, "I'm in the Hall of Fame. You know what? I had to do this too for the betterment of the team."
Well, we'll get into some of the details of that restructure and some of the incentives that are in that renegotiation, which, by the way, saved the Bills an additional $8.645 million in cap space. I mentioned the post-June 1st designation for Trey White. You did have a couple of free agent signings, including Mitch Trubisky. Trubisky is back. I know a lot of people are going to look at that number and say, that's a lot for a backup quarterback. Hopefully you never have to use it and you can readdress it later, but Trubisky gets 2 years this year out of Buffalo after backing up Josh Allen in 2021. He'll get a 2-year deal here. And I don't want to overlook this either, because this happened yesterday. Matt Hawk is back as a punter. And Sam Martin got signed last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
But why would you bring back Matt Hawk? I think it's less about his ability as a punter and more about his ability as a holder for Tyler Bass, who struggled last year.
That is 100% correct. And I almost forgot that Matt Hawk was on the roster for a few days leading up to that loss against the Chiefs in the divisional round. You remember that Martin pulled the hamstring there in the Steeler playoff game and it was hobbling around, but he ended up being okay. And from reading up here, if you make that move from Sam Martin, that would also save you $800,000, which could go to a few practice squad players.
It all counts, right? Yeah. And then you have the two extensions. We knew about David Edwards early in the day yesterday, a 2-year, $6 million contract with that Morse release. Then you would assume that Edwards would slide into the left guard role that McGovern is going to leave vacant when he shifts over to Morse's center position. And then you have Taylor Rapp. And Taylor Rapp was set to be a free agent. Instead, he comes to terms with the Bills on a 3-year deal that can reportedly max out at over $14.5 million. So you could say that that's a little bit of an overpay for the Buffalo Bills. And I don't know the exact terms of that contract, right, as far as like when they can get out, but at minimum, it gives you a guy next season that has a year's worth of experience in Sean McDermott's defense. Whereas with the release of Poyer and Micah Hyde being a free agent, you really didn't have any sort of veteran starter in that role. DeMar Hamlin shouldn't be a starter.
Yeah, I some of that math is funny math. We all know. So until we get the exact dollars of how the Taylor Rapp deal was laid out, I'm going to reserve judgment on that. To your point, you need bodies. Yeah, absolutely. And Taylor Rapp knows the system. Can we all agree you can do better than Taylor Rapp if you want to have the next Poyer and Hyde? From what I saw at Taylor Rapp last year, I don't see him being in either of those roles.
It's funny. You and I think, have differing opinions on Taylor Rapp. And I'll concede that at times when he was on the field, he was a bit reckless, maybe undisciplined. But we had the chance to talk to him last year at training camp. And I left that conversation kind of impressed with Taylor Rapp. I'm like, I get why he's here. In fact, what Taylor Rapp reminded me of after we spoke with him was very similar to how I felt after we spoke to Jordan Poyer after his first training camp in Buffalo. They remind me of similar kind of players in that this is another shot with a different team than who they originally came in with. For Poyer, it was his third team. I mean, Poyer was literally left for dead in the NFL and given the opportunity by Buffalo that he didn't want to squander. With Rapp, it was the first 4 years after being a second round pick with the Rams and realizing they didn't want him to be part of their plans. The Bills capitalized, bring him in on a 1-year deal. He did enough to prove himself to this coaching staff that he deserved this extension. And we'll see if he can clean up some of the sloppiness of his game that we saw at times last year. But I also saw some impressive plays by Taylor Rapp last year as well. And it is a young man's game. And he's certainly a lot younger than what you had back there in Poyer and in Hyde.
Well, I think if we would have saw him more last year. And I would think that you're going to pencil him in the Poyer role, meaning, okay, we're going to bring Poyer was coming down and stopping the run last year. And I think Rapp is good at that. But as far as covering ground and ball hawking skills, I don't know if that's what Sean McDermott is like. It buys them time, Danger. That's what this does. You can hit in the draft. We've got free agency coming up. And this is how good is the pro personnel department for the Buffalo Bills? And you can say, well, Sean McDermott knows safeties. Yeah, he's going to have a say in what players he wants. But Sean McDermott is not watching gobs and gobs and gobs of tape here of guys that didn't get a starting opportunity at the safety position. My gosh, that's why you have professionals that kind of look through that stuff. To me, it's risky if you're relying on a second round pick, let's say, to come in and be the new free safety. No, I think that's not the way to go in this defense.
As a rookie. Yeah. I agree. And I think that what they've done here, because you still have the restructure of Allen's deal to deal with here. We could still see that happen before the start of the league year, which they're going to get cap compliant, obviously. But they might also have enough room and flexibility to get a couple of decent names in free agency.
Or do you swing for the fences? Just hear me out, Danger, because like if you do that deal with Josh Allen, as we expect, are you bringing in a Christian Wilkins? Are you going after those big names? I don't know if you want to throw more money on the defensive line, but at least that brings the opportunity you didn't have before.
My fear is that Brandon Bean might shy away from those kind of deals, given just how badly this Von Miller deal has worked out for the Bills. The idea that they got him, they convinced him to restructure, I think is fantastic. And again, I think the only way you get him to do this, to agree to this, is basically to say, hey, man, what do you think is out there for you if you're a free agent? Do you think it's going to be anything near what we're willing to give you? And what is that they're willing to give him? So let's break down the Von Miller restructure here. The base compensation for Von Miller, his salary reduced from $17.145 to $1.5 million. Ooh. With a $7 million roster bonus added to that. So his base comp is just over $8.85 million. He has a $15,000 per game bonus, a $100,000 workout bonus, and his cap hit this year has been reduced from $23.8 million to $15.1 million.
Okay, so it's an $8 million savings is the net, is what you're telling me.
Yeah. Now for the incentives. And this is where Von Miller bets on himself, which I love. Anytime I hear of a player betting on himself, I want to see that happen. I'm like, good, this is Von Miller's opportunity, as you were saying. Like, hey, I went through this, and I am a Hall of Famer, and I do have pride, and watch what I can do if you incentivize me. This isn't cumulative. For two sacks, he'll get a million dollar bonus. For four sacks, $2.5 million. For six sacks, $4 million. Eight sacks gets him $6 million. You see how it escalates up here. 10.5 gets him $8.645. If he has a 15 sack season, he'll make just under $10 million in incentives. What happens to that money? Where does that money come from? Is that affect this year's cap? No, 2025. He also has incentives built in for playoffs and sacks.
There's also $1.5 million. You get to the Super Bowl. Look, that's money well spent. Hey, if Von Miller gets to 15 sacks and a Super Bowl, I'm happy to have that. Oh my gosh, the Bills have a disastrous 2025 cap. We would all trade that in a Super Bowl win and. Who cares?
It doesn't matter, right? Yeah. So max earnings for Von Miller with this new deal is $20 million. So essentially he's saying, yeah, you can reduce my salary from what it was at just over $17 million down to $1.5 million, but let me bet on myself. And if he hits some of these incentives, the maximum he can earn is $20 million. What happens next season, next offseason, after this upcoming season? Do you want to part ways with Von Miller? You can. It would be a $15.4 million dead cap hit if you were to move on from him after the 24 season, which would save Buffalo, as you were saying, Gino, $8.4 million. Any earned incentives that we were just talking about would then factor into the Bills' adjusted salary cap for 2025.
I view this also as Von Miller trying to buy his reputation back. Yes, I understand. Innocent to proven guilty. There's been nothing there. However, the business world doesn't work like that. He lost his endorsements, Danger. You didn't see him on the commercial with Steph Diggs, which was actually kind of funny. You didn't see him eating a chip during the Super Bowl. You're not going to get those opportunities. The NFL has the ability, sports washing? They can make over anybody's image. See Ray Lewis. So to me, this is the first step in, hey, what he was accused of, very, very bad, but it was just an accusation. If he starts producing on the field, you watch. Like, everybody will be back in on Vaughn. What a team guy. What a leader. He's into the Hall of Fame. He's going to lead us to a Super Bowl.
That's right. Winning is one hell of a deodorant. We say it all the time. Now, all of these moves, all of these savings, and still more to come. And when we say that there could be some more signings, I think it's worth noting that a player who was released by Jacksonville early this week is taking a visit with the Bills today. And it's a position of need. And if you were to sign this player prior to the league year starting, it wouldn't count against your compensatory draft pick formula for next year. And we're talking about defensive tackle Foley Fatukowski. I'm sorry, I said his name wrong. Fatukasi is with the Bills today. He also took a visit with Houston. So that's a position of need, and that's a player you can bring in now and not have it affect your comp pick formula for next year, which I think is of value for a lot of teams. This is what the Patriots did for years and years and years. They worked that comp pick formula just to get all those extra draft picks. And it gives you that flexibility that we know Brandon Bean loves to have.
Yeah, like if you had to say, are the Bills going to bring in players from outside the organization? You would hope at safety. That's at least my hope. But I think it's fair to say that Gabe Davis is going to leave. And Terrell Dotson, maybe that somebody will see Dotson. And maybe an A.J. Epineza. Perhaps Leonard Floyd. I mean, you could end up with more going out than coming in. In fact, I'd have to guess you're going to end up with more coming out than going in based on, yes, the Bills cleaned up their cap, but they're not going to be big, big spenders here in free agency. If you could get two guys back, I think that would be very, very nice for Buffalo. And if you get two guys back, well, then, chances are that you're not going to be bringing all that many else. I think the compensatory formula is in play for Buffalo.
Absolutely. And that's encouraging. That's what you want if you're Brandon Bean. As we've seen, this is a guy who likes to have that flexibility during the draft, to move around the board, to go after the guys that he wants to get, and having those extra draft picks only makes that easier. So we'll keep an eye on whether or not there's a new defensive tackle in the mix for Buffalo here with Fatukasi, I'm saying his name wrong, I'm butchering it. I got to get used to it. It happens when we have new players coming into the fold.
Star Lotulelei?
Yeah,
except he crossed everybody up and crossed us up here.
We will, I believe we're talking about a player who would be younger than what you'd be looking at if you were to bring back, say, a Daquan Jones. I'm guessing on that. I have to look to make sure, but I'm pretty sure that that's a player that would at least provide you a little bit more youth on the defensive line. Great show lined up for you this afternoon. Our guests include Rochester Nighthawks general manager, Dan Carey. Dan Carey joining us. Okay, names are a struggle for me today, Gino.
Yeah, it's fine. Rochester Nighthawks are home against Albany coming up. And I had the kind of refresher, like, wait, what is the playoff format? Because you think, wow, the Nighthawks, they're kind of dead in the water, right? They only won one game. Actually, no, because they started out 3-0. They're 4-6. They're only a half game out of a playoff berth. Now, the way it goes this year, it's bracket. It's 1-8, but at least you got to get to the 8. So that is in play. Oliver, Albany's pretty good. So we'll set you up for Saturday night. Dan Carey, GM of the Rochester Nighthawks, who, by the way, I will never forget. He's the one and only GM that brought you and I over beers when we were over 3X.
Man, they spoiled us. They really did. I mean, brought us beers, got some swag. I wear my Nighthawks t-shirt all the time when it was cold this winter. I had my Nighthawks hat on. Fantastic. And looking forward to this weekend at Blue Cross Arena. Dan Carey, Rochester Nighthawks GM, stopping by the sports bar here in just over an hour. Coming up here in just a couple few, we'll be joined by Thad Brown, News 8 Sports. I'm sure that has plenty to say about all that has happened in the last 24 hours with the Buffalo Bills.
I mean, like, where do you begin? I mean, it's really one of those, hey, we could talk to any Bills guest here for a long, long time, but we'll get to the point here with Thad coming up. Not only rehashing yesterday, but curious as what's next here. Like, should we expect the Bills to take a big swing, or are there so many holes here? Whether that's on the offensive line depth or the safeties or what have you, that Brandon Bean's is going to be looking for value. We'll talk to Thad Brown coming up.
We have time for your calls. You can join us with your reaction to this new look Buffalo Bills team at 866-432-6585. 866-4FAN if you want to dial up the sports bar. Should also note that some other NFL news. There was a report out of Pittsburgh that the Steelers will be meeting with Russell Wilson before free agency starts here. So, again, he'll be officially released by the Broncos at the start of the league year. But teams are showing an interest in Russell Wilson, the Steelers, one of them, and apparently, reportedly, another team had a conversation with Wilson. We're not aware of which team that is. Maybe there's a market for his services, or maybe that's a false report that just has Pittsburgh saying, hey, we should at minimum talk to him, because the optics of us not doing anything shows that we're not really saying what we said we were going to do, which is bring in competition to go against Kenny Pickett.
I view this kind of in the same vein as when you have a head coaching vacancy, talk to a lot of people. Like, talk to people outside your organization. Talk to people. You actually might learn something. You're just talking. That's it. There's no offer. So people that fast track this, I would make sure that you're talking to a lot of candidates. And quarterback position, kind of the same way. I can't say the Steelers are actually interested, but for Russell Wilson, borderline future Hall of Famer, why wouldn't you want to talk to him if you're the Raiders, you're the Falcons, whoever it may be?
Yeah. Well, that's a report out of Pittsburgh, so we'll keep you posted on that as well. Man, it's the offseason. The legal tampering period hasn't even begun, yet it feels like we are in the full swing of NFL season.
Can I just say something? I think I work hard and you think you work hard. None of us work as hard as Matt Parrino. I was wondering it, like, what is, so if you're with us every Tuesday, Matt Parrino, Syracuse Post Standard, joins us. And well, he didn't this past Tuesday. Why, Matt? Hey, you know, you're on a Disney vacation. Go enjoy Magic Kingdom, Disney Springs.
He's got little ones. He's got two kids that are right in that age, right in the wheelhouse.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
Yeah, go to the princess breakfast. Do all that fun stuff. You don't get that time back. And I'm like, last night he's doing an emergency pod. I'm like, Matt, you just said the bar's so high for us.
Yeah,
dude.
No, that's, well, that's Matt. That's yeah. That's a special breed of hustle, and you got to appreciate it. It's not for me. I'm going to tell you what, I love talking about the Bills. I love talking sports. Gino, I love the sports bar, but if I do an emergency pod from the beach with my toes in the sand, never going to happen. You're not going to see that. Sorry. If I'm doing that, I'm doing that. But that's our guy, and that's why we love having him on with us every Tuesday. He's got his ear to the ground, and he's keeping up with everything that's happened this week, even though, I mean, when the Bills signed Von Miller, did you hear from me? That when I was on vacation, when that happened?
No,
I did not check in to weigh in or to give my thoughts. There was no emergency pod. So I guess Perino's just got that work ethic that...
Again, he's at a different level here, folks.
Go for him. And we appreciate him joining us every Tuesday. That's Must Listen here in the Sports Bar 325. We'll get to Thad Brown, News 8 Sports, and we'll talk more Buffalo Bills next on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
One day after the big cut down in Buffalo, the Bills start to build things back up, making it official today. Mitchell Trubisky to back up Josh Allen. It's a two-year deal. The quarterback says he's happy to be back.
Once I got released, there was like a few spots I had in my mind that I might have been interested in, and this was at the top of the list. So to come back here, be a part of a contender, work with Josh and all the boys again, I was just really excited about the opportunity, and I'm happy to be back. So I'm very energized, feel very positive about it, and me and my family are very happy.
We'll talk some Bills football coming up next. Thad Brown from News 8 joining us. Sabres play on back-to-back nights tonight in Nashville, coming off that overtime loss in Toronto. Our coverage will begin at 8 o'clock. Amherst back on home ice tomorrow night against Syracuse. RIT, the Atlantic Hockey quarterfinals tomorrow night, game one against Robert Morris. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader. The Fan, Rochester.
They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Back in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia, we welcome in Thad Brown, News 8 Sports. And a memorable day for the Buffalo Bills yesterday. Thad, I'm curious, now that we can look back and reflect on the last 24 hours, what move was the most surprising to you?
Easily Mitch Morse, because the rest of the moves, although you can debate how much of an impact, you know, what maybe other choices the Bills could have made, with the offensive line, that was probably the Bills' strength last year outside of quarterback. And it was stable. You had five guys under contract coming back. And on top of that, Morris expressed the desire to be on the team. He's a guy who's taken a pay cut before. So it's not like you thought he would only be a hardliner and say, either pay me my full money or I'm going to walk. There probably was a middle ground the Bills could have attempted to find. But instead, they decided to just part ways and take the $8 million in cap room. And then on top of that, you know, now we'll see if this actually happens. You know, you can talk about who's going to start in March and, you know, a lot of time between now and September. But if they're going to move Connor McGovern over to center, now you're taking that strength, that stable offensive line, and you're changing two positions. And theoretically, David Edwards is back. If you're going to move Connor McGovern, now Edwards is the nominal starter at guard, you're also changing who the sixth offensive lineman is. And to me, that I think there are other ways to go about it. It doesn't make it wrong. But, you know, the one real position of strength and absolute confidence where you're looking at this team in the offseason saying, that's fine, we don't need to even touch it. And that's the thing that they went after and, you know, kind of made it a part of the salary reconstruction yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one part here. And in credit the Bills organization for not leaking this stuff. We don't know if these players that were released were asked to take pay cuts or, hey, we're just going to kind of move on. But kind of along those lines, knowing that the Micah Hyde right now, free agent, and kind of at the end of the line, your level of surprise with Jordan Poyer, and you might he be done in this league? Because Jordan Poyer up there on the wrong side of 30, he's 32, Thad.
A little bit, because the safeties have been so consistent and such a big part of this defense, and always are, because of the amount of communication required. You know, the zone-based defense, everybody's got to be on the same page, and having two guys back there who knew everything inside and out about the defense was a huge luxury. And, you know, obviously getting rid of one would be a hit. Now you get rid of both, you know, now you got to kind of almost start over from there. I know they re-signed Taylor Rapp yesterday, and he provides a level of experience that someone coming in brand new doesn't have, but it's not anywhere close to what Poyer and Hyde are, and Rapp probably isn't the player either, those two guys are either. So, you know, to start fully over at safety was a bit of a surprise. But to your point, you know, the idea that Poyer might not even play this year is a real one. I think he'll at least get a shot. Unless Poyer is going to say, I'm not going to play unless I'm going to make X, I think he'll be in a camp somewhere. But you're right, he may not play this year. And from that point of view, you know, having a guy who has that as a realistic possibility or $5 million in cap room, taking the $5 million cap makes a lot of sense.
The post June 1st cut for Trey White at corner, I think, is jarring to the organization. It kind of signals a changing of the guard. This was Sean McDermott's first draft pick, and we know how much he meant to the organization, how much he meant to the coaches, how much he meant to the locker room. But you hit on Benford in the draft. You hit on Douglas in the trade market, and you have an idea here of what corner 1, 2, and 3 could look like, assuming that Dane Jackson doesn't come back as a free. He's set to hit free agency as well. Was the Trey White release a surprise to you at all, Thad?
Not really. You know, as you guys pointed out, the Bills kind of had three options for two spots, the two starting corner spots, and it was just a matter of, you know, which ones do you want to go with. I think Benford, because of his small rookie salary, he was a lock. So it was really Douglas or Trey White, because they could have released Douglas and saved a boatload of cap room as well. And they went with the guy who doesn't have the monster leg injuries on his recent resume. Now, Douglas doesn't have the same upside that Trey White does. He's not going to be an all-pro. So, you know, you do lose the opportunity to have one of those elite corners back there, but Douglas has a much bigger floor, much higher floor than Trey White does because of the injury history. So it was the sensible move, even if I think your word jarring is right. And really, it wasn't just Trey White. It was the entirety of the day, because it wasn't just Poyer in the safeties or Mitch Morse. It was a complete, absolute reinvention of what this team is going to be, or at least the beginnings of, around Josh Allen. It's the restart of a new core. And I think from that point of view, it was the right way to go, because you look at what this team was coming off last year. They had multiple shots to go deep into the playoffs. And most of the major players, we've mentioned a couple of them, are on the wrong side of 30, certainly on the backside of their career. This was a team, as constructed last year, whose likely Super Bowl window had closed, because the guys around them were just not going to be good enough to hang with the Kansas City's and Cincinnati's. They needed a new core. Now, the negative part of that is you need to find all those guys. You know, they don't just drop out of trees. You've got to hit on draft picks. You got to be good in free agency, and it's difficult. But as the Chiefs proved a couple years ago, if you do it, you can reset the core of that team and become really, really dangerous really fast.
Thad Brown from News 8 joining us here. The Bills making a lot of moves yesterday, a lot more to come here as the league year begins next week, legal tampering beginning on Monday, but some may say it's already begun. Thad, I was surprised that Von Miller took a pay cut, essentially, restructuring. Now, he can make that money back in incentives. I would love to know how Brandon Bean sells this to an agent here. How do you kind of push this through? And I'm wondering, the idea that Von Miller has expressed, hey, I want to be a GM someday. Well, if you want to be a GM someday, that if Von Miller can say, hey, I took a pay cut now as a GM and I'm a Hall of Famer, then you could take a pay cut here.
I don't know. You know, I've heard people talk about the GM thing, and I don't think a professional or a person would drop $8 million I'm going to learn how to be a GM, so I'm going to just dump almost eight figures of salary. The two theories that I've seen that I think make more sense are, A, because of his domestic violence case, it is possible the Bills could recoup some guaranteed money depending on how that was going to go, and if there was going to be, you know, a change in the status of that case, perhaps the deal that Von took was better. And then the other side of it was, the Bills may have just walked up to Von and said, you know what, we're going to release you, and we'll give you the $10 million that we were on the hook for guaranteed, but the other $7 million that you're going to make in base salary, we're just going to release you and you lose that. Or you could take this deal where you keep most of the guarantee, and then if you have X number of sacks, you can make it all back. And to be honest, that last theory makes the most sense, because it's just simple football economics. It's a team making a choice and letting the player decide, you know, what part he wants to do, and then the player deciding, I'm going to bet on myself, because almost always that's what happens. Either way, you know, certainly Von Miller did the Bills a solid by taking this contract, because it's going to open up $8, 9, 10, 13 million in cap room. The numbers are kind of a little bit all over the place, but regardless, it was a big help.
We'll have a couple of free agent signings here as well. They made it official today with Mitch Trubisky backing up Josh Allen, as he did in the 2021 season. And I think the Matt Hawk signing is interesting, not because Matt Hawk is a punter or a good punter or a better punter than Sam Martin, but I think it does speak to Matt Hawk maybe being a better holder than Sam Martin after a year that, that Tyler Bass would like to forget.
Maybe, you know, and I'll buy that. But if my kicker needs a certain guy to be, I mean, do we ever talk about who Justin Tucker's holder is? You know, do we ever talk about who the kicker for the Chiefs, who I should know because Butker. He makes every kick in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we ever talk about who Harrison Butker's holder is? Now, look, doesn't mean that it won't help or be relevant, but if Tyler Bass needs a particular holder, is that a comment on the holder or is that a comment on Tyler Bass? Doesn't mean it's wrong, and I think you guys have a point there. Sam Martin was pretty good as a punter end of last season, and he's still technically on the roster as far as I know. So it doesn't mean that Hawk is going to be the guy, but it is noteworthy that he is still on the team.
Yeah, we're talking to Thad Brown, News 8. You know, back in 2017 when Poyer and Hyde came in, I don't think anybody was kind of excited, you know, about those signings, but you realize what Doug Whaley and his staff did. They found guys. You know, Hyde was making plays in Green Bay. Barely anybody knew Poyer. I guess my question is, where do the Bills kind of go from here? And we saw a move last night. Now, Danger and I kind of differ on the opinion on Rapp here. To me, Taylor Rapp, I don't think he should be one of the answers here as a starting safety here next year, Thad. But your thoughts on the Rapp signing, and I mean, where do the Bills kind of go at that position?
Yeah, on Rapp, I'm with you. I don't think he's starter caliber. He's close. He's a good backup at the very least, and he can start. I mean, he did start for a Rams team that won a championship, so it's not like you are going to be dead as a football team if he starts. But I didn't see anything last year in the 40% of defensive snaps that he played that tells me this is a guy I want as one of the two back there. Now, again, like I said, experience matters in this defense, so that'll help. Where the Bills go, well, number one, they're absolutely 100% going to sign at least one free agent safety because although, as I said before, a great roster doesn't fall out of a tree, right now there are veteran safeties who are literally falling out of trees. I mean, they are everywhere. The free agent market is as flush as I've ever seen it. So the Bills will get one, and they'll get one for cheap. And frankly, before they signed Rapp, I thought they might sign two. It wouldn't have been that hard to do. Now, maybe they went with the experience, or maybe they will still sign two, because there's not many options in the draft. So where they go at safety, it's going to be exactly the way that Poyer and Hyde probably came in. They're going to find guys in free agency, maybe more than one.
And they can make more signings here before the start of the league year from players that have been released. And we're hearing today that a defensive tackle was released by Jacksonville, and Foley Fetakasi is visiting with Buffalo. And we know that there's a need at defensive tackle with you know, guys like Daquan Jones hitting free agency. Do you think there's a chance that the Bills get a little bit younger here with somebody like Fetakasi, who they could at least, you know, bring in now and not have that affect their compensatory formula for next year?
Certainly distinctly possible. They need at least three defensive tackles. You know, I'm sure Daquan Jones is someone the Bills love to have back. He's really good. Fetakasi would be, I mean, they need bodies, and he's better than a body. He's a really good run stopper. You know, in an ideal world, if the Bills brought Jones back, Fetakasi would be like the number two nose, the primary run stopping two down nose. He's a solid player and would be a heck of an addition, but you know, it won't be the end. The Bills, they have all the draft picks, and they'll probably find someone in the defensive interior there as well. But free agency is going to be the better option for that particular position. It's not a great year for interior linemen either side of the ball in the draft.
We're talking to Thad Brown, News 8 here. One move that hasn't happened, but we're all expecting it to, the Bills to kind of convert that base into a signing bonus. They really don't need Josh Allen's permission to do that, Thad. So if that space gets opened up, and that's now the fun part, how big a player do you think the Buffalo Bills would be? A lot of depth you need on this team, or can you make an argument that you should go make a big swing here for one of these free agents?
There's always an argument. I will say I have not seen a free agent that I would think would be worth the big swing. Maybe an edge or two. You know, Brian Burns is not going anywhere. He would have been a no-brainer. You know, Leonard Floyd isn't quite at that level. But to me, the big swing for the Bills this year is going to be the receiver they take in the draft. Either probably first round, maybe second round. That's going to be the big-time impact addition for this particular offseason, in large part because, like you said, they need a lot of guys. They're going to have cap room. They're not going to have a ton to where they can fill multiple spots and grab an impact guy most likely. And if you spend a lot of that money on the impact guy, that's not Brandon Bean's strategy. Normally he uses free agency to fill in the cracks and make sure he can go into the draft without feeling a desperate need to grab any one particular position. So I think I don't expect a big swing. in large part just because there's one out there. I think their big swing will be in the draft.
All right, so you mentioned the draft, and we're fresh from the combine, and I love asking insiders their opinion on the Bills' strategy here going into Detroit next month. Who's the one receiver that Brandon Bean can't leave Detroit without, in your opinion, Thad?
I don't think there's one. You know, the more I look at these receivers, you got the top three guys, Neighbors, Harrison, and Odunze. And none of those three are making it to Buffalo unless the Bills make a big trade up, which I would not put past Brandon Bean, and I would wholeheartedly endorse, you know, barring, you know, one of the Mike Dick, you know, trade the entire draft for Ricky Williams kind of things. But outside of that, the rest of this receiving group, to me, they're all guys, there are a lot of guys, who have great size speed profiles. They're really good with the physicals, but they need a level of polishing and coaching. And I think the guy who's going to work best is going to be the guy that goes to the best situation. What's your wide receiver room? How soon does the team need you to produce? Who's your quarterback? Who's your receiving coach? Who's your offensive coordinator? Who's your head coach? That's all, to me, going to determine which one of these guys works out the best. So there's no one particular guy that I'm like, that's the guy the Bills have to have. And I think the Bills are in pretty good position when it comes to all those boxes. They got the quarterback. They have a pretty good receiving room. I think Kincaid takes a big jump next year, so you won't have to demand a lot out of this rookie year one. The coaching staff is a question mark in large part because they're new, but I think the Bills are a good spot, and I think most any of these receivers, you know, the Brian Thomas Juniors, Legettes, any Adonai Mitchell, any of those guys, I think will be pretty solid and pretty functional at a minimum in Buffalo.
Well, that being said, if you could wait until the second round, Thad, because I know a lot of people are first round wide receiver or bust, but I look at the depth on this defensive line. Could you be sold on Buffalo taking a defensive lineman? Could you get one of those receivers if you waited in round two, or might you be forced to actually trade up in round to make sure you're getting the best of the bunch?
It's a risk. It wouldn't be the worst idea in the world. There's definitely a number of ways the draft could fall where I would endorse not going receiver round one. That's why I said round one or round two, because there will be a number of guys available on day two that will be impact receivers. Now, by the time, let's say the Bills sit at pick 56 and that's where they go, there might be 10 receivers off the board by then. So yes, you'll still get a good player down there, but you're less likely to get a player that you might choose, or maybe you think is a little better particular fit for you. So I'm not totally against it, but I think end of the day, if you had to ask me right now, I would say the Bills should pick a receiver in that first round. And in fact, I would, again, trading up in the first round to grab the receiver that you want, to me, is the play I would be doing if I was Brandon Bean.
Thad, I hope we have the chance to talk to you before the end of April and the NFL draft. And I know there's a lot going on next week, obviously, with the start of the new league year. What are you working at News 8 Sports here in your coverage of the Bills that we can check out, that our audience could check out?
AJ Feldman and I broke down all the moves yesterday, talked about how crazy a day it was, man. I mean, you know, you guys have been covering the Bills for a long time, so have I. Other than the days where, like, head coaches just quit out of nowhere, I can't think of a wilder day than what we did yesterday. So AJ Feldman and I talked about all the moves, kind of, you know, being a part of that day, being in the office for that afternoon, and that's at rosterfirst.com.
Doug Marrone quitting on New Year's Eve comes to mind, Thad. That would be number one on my list.
I would actually go Mike Mularkey quitting after the Marv Levy press conference in the same day, and then we have to go back in and do another press conference. But it's like 1 and 1A between those two.
I think Privy was a good day too, though. Privy, when Doug Whaley wasn't privy to any of the conversations, that was a good day.
Definitely on the Mount Rushmore, but there's no like major move. I guess we were talking about the Rex Ryan firing that day.
Uh-huh.
So. Yeah, again, other than those things, yesterday was number one.
Well, appreciate the time, Thad. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, man.
You guys too. Thanks for having me on.
There he is. Thad Brown, News 8 Sports. Love catching up with Thad, talking to Buffalo Bills. You and he are on the same page when it comes to Taylor Rapp. I'm a little bit higher on Rapp than I think most are, but I don't have as much of an issue with that signing. At minimum, it gets you a guy who understands this defense and can work with whoever you decide to bring
in. He's fine in that role, like as the third, using him 40% on the field here. If you're expecting him to be the next Jordan Poyer,
Well, we don't know that, though. That's the thing. I mean, he didn't get on the field last year because, for the most part, Poyer and Hyde remained healthy. And when he did get on the field, there were some reckless plays. There were some penalties. There were some plays you probably wish you could get back. But I also saw a couple of plays that he made, especially as the season grew on. And they must have seen something in his game to commit the way they committed to him. I always had a feeling that he struck me from our time with him. He struck me as a guy that would fit in with a Sean McDermott coach team.
My son actually asked me this question, Kyle. Where does this leave DeMar Hamlin? He's in camp, but did you see anything from DeMar Hamlin last year that would say, okay, he's back to the player he was before that night in Cincinnati?
I mean, I think the season that he got all that playing time was solely out of necessity. You didn't have a better option than DeMar Hamlin. My fear with Hamlin has always been his size. I mean, he just gets thrown around like a rag doll back there. He doesn't have that kind of that build that you saw out of Poyer and Hyde. And I think Rapp has it as well. This kind of muscular structure, you know, Hamlin is just a little bit more wiry, I think. And that it's not to say he's not a good player. Maybe special teams. Special teams is fine. Right? You need special teamers.
Well, Cam Lewis, I would think, would be ahead, and he's actually a free agent, too. I don't see anything.
You let go of Saran Neal. Somebody's got to fill that void.
Listen, if I had to say right now, opening day, would it surprise me if the only guy that is actually back is actually Rapp? I'd say that's probably it right now.
Could be. All right, we'll get to some Rochester Nighthawks talk next hour. Dan Carey, Rochester Nighthawks GM, stopping by the sports bar at 425. We'll get to some takes on tap next in the sports bar.
Was the Tre'Davious White contract a mistake? We know, like, if I said Von Miller contract, I think there's a team that we're all looking at that's going to make the same mistake, Danger. Maybe. Well, I'll get into this. And also, we do talk Rochester sports, but yesterday it was never more evident who actually owns this town.
For sure. We also, in the season of lying, if you're paying close attention, there are some tells, and you can tell which insiders are being fed information by who and what they why they feed us, what they feed us. Something crossed my feed, and when I saw it, I'm like, oh my God, this is too good. This is unbelievable. And there's another thing that happened, and I want to get a verdict on this, because I'm kind of shook by the image of seeing my team's head coach sitting courtside with a rival team's head coach right next to him.
Oh, I missed this.
You didn't see this.
No, I didn't see this.
Oh, okay. I'm going to need a verdict on this, because it's got some fan friends of mine upset, and I'm kind of furious about this. I don't understand why you would think this is a good look, but we'll get into that as well. I'll drink to that is next in the sports bar. We have time for your calls at 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326. Hey, get buckets with your first bet on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 if your bet wins. Bet on all your favorite NBA players and teams with quick bets, live same-game parlays, exclusive props, and more. Just visit FanDuel.com/Mike, M-I-K-E, and shoot your shot. FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. 21 plus and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.